Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. I just want to ask a question. How are you feeling today? How's everything going? Is everything wonderful in your world? Did you wake up in a cycle this morning? Did you wake up repeating things that you didn't want or trying to figure out things that's actually happening in your life that you're not sure of? Well, you know, today's topic is going to be pretty interesting. It's called Generational Curses, Causes and Preventions. And if you've never heard of what a generational curse is, it is when a family or an individual repeats cycles that are unhealthy for them, which is most of the time it could have something to do with addiction. It may have something to do with abuse. It may even be sickness. It may even be mental illness. It could be a lot of different things. But you got to first recognize the cycling. You got to recognize the behavior, the habits, the actions. And you may not see them always in yourself. You may see them in a family member. You know, some distant cousin or mother, father, sister, brother, auntie, uncle. You know, it comes in, and you can even see it in your own children. It may be something you didn't deal with, but then you may see it in your children from a long time ago. All I'm saying is you have to be able to recognize the cycles. The cycling is, so you can understand the word cycle, is repeat patterns over and over again that are repeated behavior, known or non-known, are involuntary or non-voluntary, or voluntary. So these are things that affect every person's life. Most people are not immune to a generational curse. They're not immune to it. There's somebody, it's always someone in your family that has some type of behavior that is not healthy. You know, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's Uncle Tom. You know, he's always been like that. You know what I'm saying? He's always been the kind of person, you know what I'm saying, if he ain't drinking, he making a whole lot of noise, or if it's not, you know, that's Uncle Tom. We used to him. But see, that's just it. We get so comfortable with the cycling, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's how his grandfather used to be.
Yeah.
His grandfather was the same way. And we think it's nothing, you know? But then here comes Uncle Tom. One day, he gets so upset that he begins to get rageful. Mm. And then he wants to just lash out and try to hurt somebody. So all this time that you thought Uncle Tom was all right, but no, something's wrong with Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
He's repeating some cycles that even his grandfather experienced. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of times, again, we throw deaf ear to it. Mm-hmm. We act like we don't see it.
Right.
And all that thing does is get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our topic today, and I just want to help you understand what it is. It is not normal activity. It is abnormal activity. And the thing about it is, if you don't do anything about it, this is the part that you don't understand. If you don't do anything about it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to keep transitioning.
Yeah.
It's going to go from one descendant to another generation to another generation, because that's what it does. It operates in the bloodline. And for those who understand biblical texts, in the Word of God, it said we revisit the fathers, fourth and fifth generation, mm-hmm. which means that we revisit that, which means we recycle ancestral sins. We recycle generational curses. Because, again, these things have already been lived. Someone has the same behavior. Someone has the same actions. And that's how it is able to survive. Because it is something that is alive. It's not stigmatized. It's not like even, I don't believe in that. But look at it. All you have to do is notice it. And it is real. It is extremely real. And the part of it is that so detrimental to the human psyche, but most of all, just the generation of our lives, is when it involves a mental illness. Don't get upset. Don't get angry when you start seeing this spiral out of control. You got to notice it and say, oh, okay, this is what this is. Now I understand why, for example, you know, if I was in a domestic violence and my mother was also in a domestic violence situation, and I found myself years later, or even before years later, being involved in the same type of behavior. Do you think it's a circumstantial coincidence?
Learned no. Behavior.
It is real, Naima. So yeah. I want to know, why don't people believe what they see? What is it? Is it denial, or is it, oh, it's not my issue, or, oh, that never happened to me, or, you know, I always wonder why they don't acknowledge it at least.
Well, you know, there's two things. One thing is, if you've never known anything else, then you think it's normal. You think that that's what everybody does, and so you don't even see dysfunction as dysfunction. That's just the way your family is. Like you say, oh, yeah, you know, Uncle Gus, he comes, get drunk, and fight at every family gathering. That's just how he is. And then, you know, Uncle Gus's son is that way, and Uncle Gus's son is that way. No one ever stopped to think, what is the trauma that creates that behavior? Because that behavior is not normal. So if you think that something is normal, then you don't think to try to change it because that's how it's always been. That's how you've always lived. You don't realize that there's something wrong with that until you experience something else. You know, how many people, when they see a couple arguing, they say, oh, you almost be married. Y'all arguing. Because they think that's what married couples do. They argue. But if you are around some people and they're able to have a conversation, have a disagreement, or have a difference of opinion, and they're not clashing, they're not arguing, they're acting kind and loving and respectful, you go, oh, that's interesting. How are you all doing that? Because if your own experience has been, well, every married couple I see, they always argue, you know, that's just how you relate. When you don't know that there's something else, then you think that's just how it's supposed to be. So exactly. A lot of it is we live with dysfunction as a way of life, and we don't think to question, there's something wrong with this. This shouldn't be this way. And so, therefore, we don't even recognize the patterns that produce that behavior. If you have a generation after generation after generation of, say, something common, alcoholism, and how many of us in our family have it? Everybody, every family has experienced that. Somebody in the family at some point emotionally was broken, and no one thought to heal the brokenness. They just observed how they self-medicated with alcohol. And so that just became normal. And then you look at the people whose lives they touched, you know, their children, grandchildren, and unless those children looked at that behavior and said, I don't want that to be my life. I'm going to consciously not use alcohol as a way to handle my stress. Unless you constantly decide not to do that, then you'll find yourself doing it because you didn't even think, oh, this isn't how I should handle things when I get upset or stressed or angry or fearful, you know, go take a drink. I shouldn't be doing that. If you don't make a conscious decision to not do something, that just becomes the pattern that you follow. And
exactly.
You have to be somewhere where behavior is actually healthy behavior to see the contrast. Our challenge is that we don't see the contrast. It's just like, I'll use for an example, an experience I had. We hear crime, we see crime all the time, all day long, every day on the news. This person got shot, this person got robbed, this person, you know, got killed. That's just a daily diet of violence.
Yes.
And so that becomes what you expect, you know, hearing sirens all the time and everything. So I spent a couple of weeks with my daughter when she was living in South Korea. And I'm sure there's crime in South Korea. You know, it's a human problem. But I didn't hear sirens all day long. I didn't see on the news, you know, this whole long list of violent acts that happened. I didn't experience that. I didn't see, you know, on public transportation, people arguing and you get, you know, that little bit of tension in your stomach because you're afraid all fights about to break out. I hope nobody pulls out a gun. You know, I didn't experience that. You know, people were able to sit on a very crowded train and everybody mind their business in their phone and newspaper, whatever. You know, no problem. I didn't see, you know, on the street people in altercations or you know, talking rudely or and I'm not, again, you know, there are no perfect societies. Everybody has human issues. But I didn't see the level of dysfunction that I've become so accustomed to as a way of life in Chicago. And that's when it hit me, this isn't normal to be living like this. People aren't supposed to always be on edge waiting for something to happen, some fight to break out or, you know, praying nobody pulls out a gun. That's not, you're not supposed to be hearing, you know, gunshots in the distance or, you know, sirens all night. You're not supposed to live like that. I didn't even realize that this was a dysfunctional way of living until I went somewhere where it didn't exist. It wasn't part of the daily routine. And then once you realize it, you go, if these people can live without this kind of dysfunction, then I can live without this kind of dysfunction. Because this that I've been adjusting to and accustomed to is dysfunctional. It's not the way I want to live.
That's it. Good morning, Sister Carla. Good morning. Regina Green, thank you for joining us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Absolutely, to our Facebook viewers. You know, the reality is whatever someone is, whatever persists continues. You know what I'm saying? And whatever we resist from seeing the truth, it persists.
Yes.
That's what happens. And because we operate most of the time, human beings, we operate more in dysfunction than functionality.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's unfortunate that before we can change anything, it has to get to a certain level where it causes so much damage. The damage is done so tremendously. Then that's when we, oh, now we want to do something. But guess what? It just didn't start there.
Right.
It was something that occurred over and over and over again. And even in the recent occurrence, not even the past occurrence, it's different signs and certain situations that will let us know, okay, this is the problem, you know? This is the problem. Do something now because this is the issue. Because if you don't do something now, then what happens is that it's going to continue and it's going to evolve into something else.
Yes, yes.
That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? It's the generational things that happen. And, you know, some good generational, you know, pass downs. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yes.
Mama was a good cook, so am I.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
some good things.
Down.
It's not all curses. I just don't want everybody to think it's not all curses. But these things that are not healthy, that is a, you know, death. I mean, it's like it's a death tone, which means, okay, it's ringing the bell. It's ringing the bell. All right, and we have to notice that something is wrong. We can't just, you know, go and just continue living and adapting to this dysfunction.
Yes.
But that's what happens.
That's
we
it.
Adapt to it.
And that's why it persists. We adapt to it as opposed to making a conscious decision to change it, to stop the pattern, stop passing it down. We adapt to it, and then it just becomes acceptable. And there's so many things in our culture that have been unacceptable for so long, but we have adapted to it. And so we don't do the things necessary to change what produces it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got a comment from a Facebook viewers. Carla Berry said, this teaching is needed in our community, in our homes. We got to wake up. Something is wrong. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct, because what I've been noticing is that the anger and the rage and the dysfunctional behavior has caused more deaths and so much domestic violence, addiction.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And it's transformed into something else,
mm-hmm.
something else worse than what it was. So the question is, because we want to talk about the causes, okay? So if I can break down the causes, how does the generational curse, what is the cause? Well, we go back to the fourth and the fifth generation, which is, you know, we can go back, you know, 15 years, we can go back 20 years. There's always a repeat pattern, unleft dealt with, unleft finalized, unchanged, if I can say it. And we call it sinful nature, okay? Sinful nature is something that is constantly happening that is tearing down the fabric of someone's life. Let's just get that over. It disturbs the peace of God in your life. It tears you down mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And if it is left untreated, if it's left undealt with, if it's not finalized, if it's not stopped, it's going to continue to evolve. And as it continues to evolve, you got to understand, the eras, ERA, starts to change. Population starts to change. You know, people, technology, everything starts to change. So what it has to do, it has to transmute into the change that's there. So it's like, you know, even though, like I said, let's just take something like addiction. Addiction that's left untreated, you know what I'm saying? It continues to pass down the bloodline. Now, unless that person, as Naima says to themselves, oh, no, I will not be an alcoholic, okay? You know, I won't be, even though my father introduced alcohol to me at a young age because he didn't know any better. It's not that he didn't want to know any better. He just continued the pattern that was there. Mm-hmm. He didn't question the pattern. So here he comes, you know, introducing alcohol to an eight-year-old. Mm-hmm. Oh, here, son, go ahead and take a drink of beer. It's all right. You're a man now. You know what I'm saying? That's what men do.
And how attractive is that, a little boy, you know, wanting the approval of his father, wanting to identify with his father, wanting to feel like, oh, I'm one of the men now. I mean, how encouraging is that to see, oh, this is what men do. I see it all the time. And
right. There
you go. That's where it starts.
It starts there. It starts just that simple. So here comes that child, all right? What he's going to do is if he ever sees it again, if he sees it, you know, maybe on the schoolyard, oh, yeah, here's some little guys who probably experienced the same generational curses or whatever. You see, they over there behind the building.
Yeah,
and
men get together and drink.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll take a drink. Say it's all right. Okay, so here comes, you go from high school, then to college, and then guess what? You're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Before you realize, you have been literally developed an addiction, and you have a low will tolerance to this particular substance. Now, every time you get a situation, every time something happens, you take a drink.
Yeah.
You take a drink, until it becomes normal. Now you're drinking, a 24-pack in the day.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm.
And, you know, oh, yeah, we got these functional people, right?
Oh, yeah.
They go to work and they drink. You got doctors, lawyers, all these people. And I'm talking about excessively. There's nothing wrong with drinking casually. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about addiction. That's just one addiction.
Right.
We're talking about drug addiction. We're not talking about opiate addiction. We're not talking about, you know, crack addiction. I mean, that's just one thing, right? Okay, that's one particular factor of causes. Okay, let's go to another factor. Another factor is codependency. Guess what? Your mother depended on her mother. Her mother depended on her mother. That's a codependent lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? So now that's what you do. You want to depend on your children, and you want your children to depend on you. When I say depend, that means I'm not saying just casually, oh, I'll do something for you, sweetie. It's all right. No. Your life interpatterns with this person so much that it interrupts your life and also interrupts the person's life. That's codependency. That's action and behavior. Okay? So we can go down the line. There's so many different ways this thing can happen. You know? There's so many different... Let's look at abuse. All right? Abuse is another thing. Sexual, verbal, emotional, you know, physical. Someone else experienced this. And you say, well, no, this is... Why would they hurt me? Why would my mother, you know, hurt me with her words or actions or whatever the case is? What's going on with that? Why would my father do this to me? Okay, but guess what? If you notice that you asked any questions or if you paid attention, somewhere in their lineage, in their generation before you, there was abuse.
Yeah.
And it got handed down. It got handed down.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Handed down. Involuntary or non-voluntary. Sometimes they know that what's happening and sometimes they don't. But they're constantly doing it. And it's because it travels. That's what it does. It travels from one generation to another generation.
Yeah.
One generation, one person to another person. And you say, well, Dr. Dev, I know that sometimes it skips over a generation. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it's not that the reason why it skips over that generation is because of the energy sometimes it moves. It moves in a certain pattern. It's not that that person wasn't exposed to it. It's just that they made a choice.
Right. I'm not going to be like
I'm
that.
I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm not going to feel this way about myself. I'm not going to behave this way to my children. So it skips over. That's how the preventive part is done. When you know something is wrong, and even if you feel it in yourself, if you see it in someone else, identify it.
Yeah.
Identify that thing and recognize it. Did this happen before? You know, this had to happen before. Because I remember this. I remember my aunt did this. I remember someone did this. Okay, you recognize it. And you help that person to recognize their own action. And when they recognize their own action, and it may take a minute because remember, this is all psyche.
Yeah.
It's spiritual psychness. Thought patterns, actions, behavior, and energy. That's what it is. Spiritual psych mentality. It's all in the mind. You know, that's the only way they can transition and change a person. Because it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to hand you a drink if you never exposed to any alcohol, never will. You can say yes or no or that. But if that thing is, like, taught, because I believe that it can be, introduced.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to another person. You know, it can be implied. It can be influenced. It can be advised. It can be guided. Because it only takes one person to pass it on.
That's right. That's right.
Just one person.
And I've had friends who have chosen to experiment with cocaine, and their belief is, well, you know, I can control it. You know, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And they might decide in certain settings that this is the entertainment that they want to imbibe in, and not realizing that some things, your body will crave it, and next thing you know, you are doing it increasingly because it is activating the pleasure centers in your brain, which that is what creates the addiction, wanting that feeling. And when you don't know how to induce that feeling naturally, which we have the power to do, but if you don't know how to do that, it's very easy. Once you've had that feeling of having that high artificially introduced and your body knows what that feels like, then you'll get a desire to use that same substance again. Like you say, the next time you're feeling a little down, a little depressed, a little stressed, and as we go through life, there are more challenges that we face. So once that becomes a way you handle a challenge, you're going to find yourself using that method more and more because there are going to be more challenges. So
Exactly. Before
you know it, your body is telling you, go and do this thing that makes us feel good because right now we're feeling kind of bad. And you might think, oh, well, I only do this on occasion. Oh, well, I'm in control of it. Oh, I'm not addicted. You might not see the increase, and you might not see the reliance on it, and you might not realize the pattern of not being able to handle difficulties without it. But the people around you, they will see it. And then when they begin to express concern, first thing you get is defensive. Oh, I don't have a problem. I don't have an addiction. Yeah, I do this for recreation, but I'm in control of it. No, you're not, because you're constantly choosing to use it to handle your challenges. And you might say, oh, I can stop at any time, but you choose not to. You
right.
choose not to stop. So what is that telling you? You are, in fact, addicted because you can't choose to stop, even though you say you can, but you don't. And this
Absolutely.
Should let you know that you have, in fact, become addicted emotionally, psychologically, and physically. Because when you start to feel discomfort, when you don't use it, whatever it is, and so you, in your mind, make an excuse, well, I'm just going to do it this time, but, you know, I got it under control. More and more you start making excuses as to why you're not choosing to stop. So addiction can creep up on you before you realize you have one.
Yes.
And next thing you know, it becomes what you have accepted and adjusted to as a way of life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, when we come back from the break, what I want to do is, like I said, we went over addictions, but I want to go over some other lifestyle and behaviors that you should also pay attention to. We'll be right back.
Absolutely. Be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so we know you've got something to say. We can open your mic. And if you're watching us live on Facebook on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, simply write in your comments and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hallelujah. Greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things seen and unseen that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
One thing about addictions, even when it's handed down from generation to generation, it is used for somewhat of a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Coping mechanism is like, you know, oh, I feel bad about today,
yeah,
or something didn't go right today, so let me take a drink. You know, I'll feel better.
Yeah, and then I'll
oh, I need
better.
To go to sleep, yeah, so let me take a drink to go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? I had bad news, so let me take a drink. So you associate the addiction with life. Anytime life is interrupted, you associate it. So the goal is to understand what you're doing. You have to understand what you are doing. You got to understand what is happening. Because if you don't understand what's happening, you'll get caught up in it and you'll be in total denial. And you're like, if somebody else can see your addiction, but you can't. Somebody else knows it and you don't.
Yeah.
You know? So the next pattern I want to talk about is when you notice that, because I spoke to a gentleman recently, and he noticed a pattern in his life that happened. For example, he got in trouble with the law at a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years later, his son, one of his sons, is repeating the same pattern.
Mm. And he's trying to figure out how did that happen? Why did you do all the same wrong things I did? How did you make the same mistakes? Is it genetic? Because I see that happen, patterns in families, and they don't know how come it's being repeated, because they don't know what it did. They don't know what triggered it in them, so they don't know how to not do the thing that triggers the behavior in their offspring.
Exactly, exactly. So when that happens, you know what I'm saying? If you know it proactively, now think about this. If you know it proactively, which means if I'm noticing that this is an issue, if I'm noticing the behavior in the child from a young age,
mm-hmm,
that this child may be rebellious,
mm-hmm,
if I'm noticing the way this child is being reared by mother, sister, brother, doesn't matter, and looking at it from that plateau and then start seeing the change on this person. Now, I could either say, oh, no, you know, not pay attention to it, or just say, oh, it just might be coincidence, you know, that looks like me. Well, my son is just like me. Okay, if he's just like you, there's a good chance that he may fall in the same dire circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and then sometimes he's like, well, you know, so much going on. Everybody don't see it the way I see it. Everybody don't notice it the way I notice it. But you still got interaction with that human being.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? At some given point, you need to set them down. Hey, son, hey, daughter, I'm noticing something. And I'm not telling you that's what's happening in your life, but I'm just noticing that I see some similarities here. There's some similarities. And I went down this road. And I remember him telling me that. I remember him telling me, I was trying to warn him. I was trying to tell him. But sometimes, you know, our children don't always listen to us, right? So sometimes we have to go and find another mentor, someone different, some person to deliver the same message.
Right.
I got to get this message over to this individual. Because if I don't, what's going to happen is they're going to repeat this pattern.
Right.
And I see it coming.
Right.
So if they don't believe me, maybe they'll believe somebody else.
Well, let me ask you this, especially, you know, in the last couple of days on the show, we've had various guests that have talked about what happens in your household and how that impacts your behavior. When people get to a point in life where they see they've made some errors in judgment, they've engaged in some self-destructive behaviors, does it help to take the time to analyze what happened that triggered whatever self-destructive behavior it was? Was it maybe parents who distressed you when they got a divorce, you felt abandoned, or maybe parents that were very harsh in their criticizing of you or making you feel ugly or stupid, or, you know, was it siblings that teased you or made you feel like you weren't safe in your own home, you're always going to be under attack? I mean, does it help if people can, not just blaming and not taking responsibility for the behavior, but really understanding where the hurt came from that you're trying to medicate yourself out of, or eat your way out of, or whatever it is you're doing, or sex your way out of, whatever thing that you're doing, that whatever the addictive behavior, does it help if people can take the time to figure out what is the hidden pain they're trying to soothe? Or does that take therapy to really be able to go into the mind and unravel what triggered that behavior?
Well, it doesn't always take therapy, but it does take self-awareness. First, you got to know the pain is there. Now, and a lot of times when most people know why they're in pain, whether they want to talk about it or not, that's a whole different story.
And it's too painful to talk about it, you know, to say, yeah, oh, well.
Yeah, they know. They know why they're in pain. Mm. But a lot of times they don't always want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, I had an adolescent yesterday at the hospital, and I just saw her come out the group room, and she just leaned on the side of the wall and sat down. I said, are you okay? And she said, no. And she was hurting, but she didn't want to talk about it. You see what I'm saying?
Now, sometimes is that a fear of maybe somebody's going to criticize or be insensitive or make them feel worse by blaming them? What are some reasons why people don't want to talk about it?
It could be several things. Yes. It could be several things. It could be being embarrassed by the reason, mm-hmm. or, you know, feeling shameful
mm-hmm.
because of the reason, especially if it's something that involves a close family member. You know, it could be something of that nature, so they figure, no, I'm not going to tell you. You know, especially if you know that family member.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you, because if I do, then, you know, that family member is going to find out mm-hmm. that I said something. And this is when it comes to children, you know.
Yes, because then they fear punishment.
Children that fear punishment, but also people who have been abused. They don't open up their mouths and speak. And again, we're still dealing with generational things. Something's been handed down.
Mm-hmm.
Something's been handed down. An abuser, if he was abused in his past life or someone else was abused in his past life, he's going to abuse someone else. That's just the way it works. Unless he comes to understand himself. That he, again, having a conscious awareness. Oh, it's me. I'm causing the problem.
So now
I need to change.
So now abuse is often something people don't recognize, especially certain forms like emotional abuse, which, you know, is very common, but if that's not identified as abuse, you just know that that's how you're being treated and you don't like it. But say if someone is teased, say it, you know, because this happens often, a child may be a little chubby and they're constantly being teased and ridiculed about their weight.
Right.
And so it has such a scarring effect on the personality, and maybe as a result they develop some type of addiction, whether it's drinking, drugs, whatever the case may be, to make themselves feel better after having maybe their whole family, you know, maybe they may got a, you know, cruel nickname, you know, because of their weight. And so they get to a point in their adult life and they fear maybe that their children are going to go through this same thing of being overweight. So they criticize them for eating or shame them or do something. The same attacking behavior, which, of course, ends up creating the same emotional scars, but they don't recognize that not only were they abused, they have then become the abuser, trying to prevent their children from having maybe the same problem that they had that caused them to be abused. So how do people recognize a pattern like that where they're actually causing the pain to those who they wanted to protect because they don't realize how the pain was inflicted on them and they don't realize that they're doing the same thing?
Well, usually if that type of pattern, Naima, there will be a interruption in the person that the pattern is being implied upon. You see what I'm saying? If, okay, let's say, for example, I'm doing something in my behavior, my action, that's detrimental to my child or whatever, all right? And I'm doing it maybe because I am not aware of the damage that I'm doing. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So what happens is that child is experiencing that damage, and they're going to continue to experience it until they either are going to do one or two things. They're either going to let me know in some type of way or fashion as they get older that they're displeased with it, or they're going to take on that same pattern and pass it down to the next generation.
Mm.
So it's got to be an awareness. The awareness is the only thing that either stops it or, you know, or just holds it up or just totally annihilates it altogether. Because, again, you know, when people are doing something to someone, and they say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was causing you so much pain, you know, because I thought this was normal.
Well, you know, that's another thing. When you have parents that are doing things or parenting in the way they were parented, you know, using verbal abuse, humiliation, or whatever, how does a child, or at what age can a child feel confident saying, you know, when you say these things, that really hurts my feelings? And then can the parent step back from their ego and, you don't tell me what to do, or you just a child, you do what I say? How does a parent get the sensitivity to hear when their child is telling them that they're causing them pain? Because a lot of times the way children tell us that they're displeased, they act out in other ways. But most parents aren't realizing that the child is trying to tell me something with this behavior. They just punish the child and keep doing the behavior that caused the pain and caused the acting out. So how does a child, or can a child, help a parent to understand that something they're doing is causing pain so that the parent can then choose to stop?
Well, I mean, think about it. If an 8-year-old comes to you and says, Mommy, you are hurting me. You're hurting my feelings. All right, so if the mother is not sensitive enough and understand love, then she won't hear that child.
Right. She'll say, how dare you challenge my authority? Shut up, you're just 8 years old.
Just say, you know, I'm not hurting you. What are you talking about? I'm just telling you to do A, B, C, D.
Yeah, you need to be hurt.
You know? She just say acknowledging it. She's not acknowledging what she's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because remember now, the brain can only acknowledge if there's self-awareness.
Mm.
If there's no self-awareness, a person you don't know whether you're doing right or wrong because you have no self-awareness. And you say, well, I thought all human beings have self-awareness. No, that is not so. Everyone is not aware of their own identity because they don't know who they are.
So
if you don't know who you are, how can you be aware of what you do?
So I was observing a 7-year-old that was really upset, you know, that she had done something and the parent didn't like it. Parent gave her a couple of swats on the behind, and you know, and the little girl's just crying and crying and crying, and the mother's like, I ain't hurt you, shut up, you know, stop crying. He said, you hurt my feelings, you know, and the little girl is just crying like, you know, she just, you know, about to die, and the mother's like, oh, shut up, I ain't hurt you. But I heard the child saying, you hurt my feelings, and I understood it wasn't the physical hitting or that caused physical pain. It was, you took away my dignity. You know, you hit me publicly, which that didn't make me feel good. But I saw the mother not hear what her 7-year-old daughter was trying to say in terms of what that had done to her. And, you know, and we've been having this conversation about the whole corporal punishment issue for a while. And a lot of times, because that's one of those culturally accepted dysfunctional behaviors.
Yes.
Parents don't see that what they're doing in striking a child is not just physically, oh, you well, don't hit hard enough to leave scars. It's you're scarring them on the inside because you hurt their feelings. You hurt their sense of dignity. You hurt their feelings of being respected. You embarrassed and humiliated them. And that is hurtful. That's abuse. And it's difficult to get parents to see patterns that start with acts of disrespect to our children, because the belief is you're a child, you don't need respect. You just do what I tell you. So how do we change patterns of thought in adults who do things that are emotionally scarring, and then after we've scarred the child, they end up turning to something to relieve the pain, and we don't know that we are the origin of that pain because we don't know that that's the origin of our pain from our parents. How do we help parents change the thought so they can see these things and then choose to change the behavior in order to change the curse that keeps getting passed down?
Well, this is a thing called self-compassion, okay? And everyone doesn't understand self-compassion. Because if you don't have self-compassion for yourself, how can you give it to another human being? Because we have to go back to the identity. So the way it's done and explained, Naima, here comes a action or behavior that's transferred to another human being in another era, in another time. That action and behavior, if that person ever experienced any type of trauma, which they did, because it's a good chance they experienced trauma, because it's coming down. Trauma is anything that disturbs the psyche, mental, emotional, physical part of the brain, but most of all, of the person's life in general, okay? So once they experience any type of trauma, then they're going to be what's called traumatized. Traumatized people very seldom have a lot of self-awareness. Not in the, from my experience, they got to be taught self-awareness. So what you said earlier, yes, I need to go to therapy. I need to know how to take care of myself because I am so traumatized to, I just think I'm always in pain. I'm always suffering. I'm always living in my past. My reality of my past constantly revisits me mentally. So it's very hard for me to take care of my children. You know what I'm saying? That has not experienced my trauma, but I'm passing my trauma down on them. Okay, hold that thought right there. So here comes a child that they might have done something that the parent did not agree with or whatever the case is, because since you're talking about corporal punishment, you know, and that child then gets reprimanded by this person that was traumatized, that does not have any self-awareness and no sensitivity. And it's not that they're an ugly person. It's not that they're rude or extremely dangerous or whatever. No, it's just who they are. So if they can't see the pain that they are literally causing on another human being because they're so much ingrained into their own pain themselves.
So they can't see it.
No, remember I told you a second ago, until some pattern starts to happen in that child, the child grows up, and if the pattern continues to happen, the lifestyle still stays the same, with the actions of the mother or the father doing the same thing, acting the same way, okay, the child's either going to do one or two things. She's either going to rebel, you see what I'm saying, which means that I don't have to stay around this, or I know who you are. Oh, I don't love you anymore. I don't want you in my life. So I'm X-ing out the picture.
I've seen that happen.
Okay, or they can say, you know, I'm accepting you. I know you're bitter. I've said to that long, long time ago. This doesn't seem like it's going to change. So, but in the meantime, I got limits and boundaries to you.
Yeah.
I see you, but then I don't stay around you very long because if I know I do, then you may come in and start talking about some of the stuff that I may not feel comfortable with. And because I'm grown now,
I don't have to take it.
Correct.
I've seen that happen, and I've seen a lot of families where maybe there was a parent who was verbally abusive, and so when the children get to an age where they can grow up and leave, they don't come back. And I've observed, you know, and other people looking at that, and they say, well, why won't they come around their parent? Why won't they come and help? And they see their parent is sick, or, you know, their parent needs assistance, and, you know, they've got these children, and none of the children will come and help. Oh, how selfish they are. But, you know, and I wonder, well, what is it they're avoiding in that parent, the reason why they're choosing to stay away from them? And
right.
You know, we got to take a break because I'm getting ready to get into a long story. So let me take a break first.
We'll be right back.
And we've got some calls on the line. Of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. If you want to join us visually, go to Facebook on Soulful Solutions, and you will see Dr. Debbie, the beautiful Dr. Debbie Green, and I'm Naima Latif. And we'll
beautiful
be
Naima Latif.
Oh, you're so kind. I'm just reflection of you.
Yes, yes.
So we will be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
We'll be right back.
name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And we're at the top of the hour. Our topic today, generational curses, causes and prevention. Oh, look at your life and see, is there any cycling that's causing problems? And I tell you what, you know, we got into a conversation when you were saying about if a person is aware that they're causing some type of harm and repeating that harm or that dysfunction, you know, onto their own children, you know, onto their, you know, own family members. And like I told you, if they have self-awareness, they would know. But if they don't, they won't realize it until too late that it is a problem.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a friend, she was a bit older than I, and she was one of those people that was very critical of people, spoke very harshly, and, you know, she had a few children, and they, of course, were all grown, and she was complaining to me about how they didn't come, because her house needed some repairs, and, you know, how her sons wouldn't come and help get the repairs done, and her, you know, daughters were so into their own personal lives, they wouldn't come and help around the house. And, you know, these ungrateful children, she had, you know, worked hard and put them all through college and this and that, you know, and raised them as a single mother. And, you know, they're so ungrateful. And, you know, and she was going on and on and on. And while I was visiting her, her son came by. And the way she spoke to him was so harsh and so insulting. And, I mean, he didn't retaliate verbally, but, you know, I could see, number one, he was embarrassed because she was talking to him like that with me there, and I'm a total stranger, and I'm hearing him just, you know, be cut to pieces. And, you know, she was, you know, telling him, and I told you to do blah, 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 and how come you haven't been back over here and so on, so on? So he was like, okay, well, you know, I'm working hard. I'll try to make some time, you know. And so when he finally left, I was trying to figure out how do I gently suggest that maybe she should change her tone. Because, you know, people, when they're in a rage, you know, at somebody else, and you say something, they, you know, they're turning it on you. You said my business, blah, 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 blah. You know, so I'm trying to figure out how do I help her see that maybe that's why your children aren't coming around you. And I said, well, he seems like a good son. You know, I guess you did a good job raising him. You said, you know, he's, you know, working and so forth. And you know, she proceeded to say, well, you know, I stayed on my kids. I made sure that they, you know, did their homework and this and that. And I made sure that I beat their behinds and they did so and so and so forth. And I was a good mother because I did so forth and so on. You know, and so I know that she felt that her sternness was the key to their success, which, you know, because she said, because, you know, and then she started to tell me how her mother raised her, and, you know, same kind of harsh, driven, you know, critical kind of thing, and that made her a success in her career and all of that. So I was just observing that family pattern of believing that the way you motivate your children is through very harsh verbal abuse, because you don't see it as abuse. You see it as, you know, being strict so that they'll obey and they'll work hard. And just observing that and just knowing how she talks to people in general, and the thought came to me that they're avoiding you because you've caused them pain. But there wasn't any way for me to say that without sounding judgmental, but I could see it. So how does a parent see themselves, especially if their children are maybe exhibiting behaviors, maybe whether it's addictive behaviors or maybe their relationships are dysfunctional, whatever it is, How does a parent, you know, without going, oh, what I did wrong, but, you know, really just maybe lovingly to themselves self-examine and see where maybe I may have done some things that were hurtful, and maybe some things may have been done to me that were hurtful if I had maybe dysfunction in my relationships, or you know, addictive behaviors, self-destructive kinds of behavior in my own life. How does a person get to a point of, I don't know if I want to use the word humility, but I think you said sensitivity or self-awareness.
Self-awareness
where they can examine where they may be the source of pain for those they love, because someone was the source of pain for them, and maybe honestly be able to assess what they're doing so that they can make that conscious decision to stop, or even maybe make amends for it while there's time, so that their loved ones who they may have hurt can begin the healing process. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? And then we've got some callers I'll take on the switchboard.
Well, first, again, one doesn't always notice something needs to be changed until it is at a detrimental state. Okay? Something has to really happen wrong that just stops, that halts life, boom. You know, because we don't respond to minimum. Human beings just don't. We don't self-monitor. You know, we're not really proactive. We flow with life, but at the same token, we don't notice the small things, which is the bigger things. And so, I mean, if we did, then we would then have what they call self-responsibility, self-obligation, self-acknowledgement that we're doing something wrong or something right, okay? We get confused with our integrity. We get confused in our balance, right? So that's just concerning ourselves, you know? And, you know, we try to live this life of perfection, which is no such thing, and then we expect our children to do it. Mm-hmm. It's no such thing to live neither one of those. So the permeating of emotional pain, again, it comes from that individual. You see what I'm saying? Because remember, the self-identity doesn't have those things I just told you. We get impacted from generational curses. We get impacted from society. We get impacted from expectations of other people. And it gets in our self-identity gets totally disturbed. And sometimes it's transformed in something we don't even know. And you're noticed when you change. When you're like, well, I feel myself changing. I'm not the same person I was. Either good or not so good. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So how can I notice that I'm doing something wrong if I don't, again, know and have no self-awareness of what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we are more alike this than we are different, because that's what's wrong with the world today. Everyone is noticing everything in another human being, but not in themselves.
Not in themselves.
You see what I'm saying? So if I'm hurting you, if I don't know I'm hurting you, because really I'm hurting myself if I hurt you.
Yes.
If I knew what I truly was doing, if I had the awareness in my mind that when I speak an unkind word to you verbally, or if I touch you and I violate you with anything, I'm violating myself, then I wouldn't do that. But the majority of people on this earth, Naima, are not there consciously.
Not there, you're right.
It's a conscious thing. You have to have a consciousness. You have to be linked to a consciousness of peace, linked to a consciousness of humility, you know, to recognize when you're out of balance.
Right. And most people are. Right.
Yeah.
Most people get defensive if there's any
criticism. Well, what else can they do? Because they think you're telling them something that, okay, if I tell you something, I tell you something, well, I, from my lenses of life, I look at it and I say, that's wrong, you know, because it's like I'm prejudging. It doesn't look like something that I would do that I feel that is appropriate in life. So if I say, oh, no, don't, you know, that's wrong, don't do that. And then their perception, what do you mean that's wrong? I can do what I want to do.
Yeah.
They don't take that responsibility to look at it from another plateau.
Right. How are you affecting others? Yeah.
Exactly. When you put the shoe on the other foot, okay, now guess what? You start letting them feel their own pain. that's what people just exit out of other people's lives. Okay, since you want to spend, you want to be in your own pain, since you want to be bitter, since you want to continue to do the life and live the life you want to lead, I chose not to be a part of that generational curse. I'm not going to let that permeate my life. I'm not going to let that change who I am. I chose to move on and not allow this thing to affect me, because that's what happens. The generational curse affect and impact other people's lives. And for the ones, like you said, why did the other person not know? Good question.
Yeah, they didn't see it. Well, we got a couple of callers.
Yes,
we're going to ask
call,
this
please.
Conversation. So 779 coming to you first, and then 773 coming to you next. And if you're on our switchboard and have something to say, just press 1. That will light your number up, raises your hand on our switchboard, and we'll know you got a comment you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask for Dr. Debbie Green. Let me open up the mic. 779-801, I believe this is our wise sister farmer, Maika Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us.
Grand Rising, how are you both today? So glad to hear you this morning.
Excellent.
Hello,
thank you for joining us.
Green, I really like your ability to analyze and your vocabulary reach as it relates to your analysis. I am creating a book on slavery, and particularly the sexual ramifications of slavery. And I would like your analysis on the birthing process of slaves being the father in most cases was a stud. Or the female went to a stud farm where she was brutalized and raped and abused. And then how does those energies translate into now, as it, you know, what's the reflection on us now? Because there was actually no natural affection. There was no love, basically. It was just a brutalized experience. So in terms of the psyche that's passed on from generation to generation, having been resolved or healed, how does that affect us now? And could you describe that for me, please?
Absolutely.
Was I clear?
If we're talking about gender-based, because we first have to identify the gender based on this, so let's start with the female gender. Female gender,
okay.
Because this is coming from the inter-utero spiritual, which is, like you said, transferring, we call them interutero. Interutero is when it's birthed down into the lineage, into the generation. Because the emotions have energy, because that's what they are, energy in motion. So whatever the emotions that were felt during that process of every individual that went through that, amen, every individual, it was not even... not one was left untouched or violated. All right, so that being said, the spirit of violation, which is the energy of violation, is going to travel down the bloodline, which in return changes the actions and behaviors of those individuals. The trust is then actually affected in that person. They most of them have a victim mindset that they're and also an enslaved mindset. Of feeling of rejection, separation, abandonment, feeling that their voice cannot be heard, because at that time they did not have a voice. So the voice of the avocation of that person is then jeopardized. Then they will allow more, which is a person lifestyle will just be more lenient. Passive aggressive, either passive or either aggression. It's either going to be passive, I'll allow you to do whatever you want to me, because I do not have a voice, I do not have a self-identity, I do not have self-meaning, I do not have, period, no self-worth, no self-value, because that's what that person was feeling. Anger is the next thing. Anger coming down the bloodline into utero, okay, down the bloodline, will come in resentment. It will come into hostility, which is that I don't trust you. I am paranoid when I come around people. I am also paranoid with the opposite sex. You know, I don't know how to trust the opposite sex. My relationship with the opposite sex is very distorted, even with the father. Like even with a girl child with a father would look at even the father as being something life-threatening. So that person immediately builds up an offense. And a lot of times also they would have what they call a promiscuous lifestyle, have sexual energies that are coming down the pipeline, being more sexual, more physical than most. You see what I'm saying? So, again, allowing themselves to be more so fleshly than spiritual, satisfying fleshly desires more so than satisfying, you know, spiritual desires. So that's the female. The female does that. With the male, if the male was raped, depending if it, what gender was doing the violation, if it was a man, of course it affects that person. Either one of a few ways the factors can change. A male child either is going to take on a homoousion, which is a homosexual lifestyle of thought, thinking that it is supposed to be a female gender. You see what I'm saying? Having the lifestyles, having the actions and the thought patterns coming into utero. Here we go again. Coming down the pipeline. You see what I'm saying? Down the lineage. And that's what they start feeling. Instead of them feeling towards a female gender, they feel it towards a male gender, feeling incapacitated, feeling, again, do not have a voice, allowing, being very passive in that area and allowing them to be themselves to be violated, not knowing that it's a violation, but, again, being passive, naive, just because that's the way they want love. This is the only way they can receive love, just as the female gender, being promiscuous, can only receive love by giving herself up in that area. Now, that's one side of the coin. Another side of the coin can be this, aggression, as I say. Aggression, that means hating the male counterpart or whoever, the into utero, whoever did the violation against the male figure. You see what I'm saying? Thinking, don't trust men. Don't trust men. Don't trust the father figure. You see what I'm saying? Aggression, anger, you know, feeling separated, feeling abandoned, feeling rejected. And again,
also,
going back
you
to the...
see the revenge factor in there too? The revenge, like women seeking to revenge men and, you know, getting revenge on men because of the violations from the past?
Correct. That's where the relationship is affected, because the relationship can no longer be pure because of the psyche interruption of the spiritual mind. It can no longer be pure. Pure is just what it is. It is the understanding of one and love, which is the yada, which is yada is the love between them. It's the Hebrew word, you know what I'm saying, between a woman and a man. Normally, you see what I'm saying? That yada then forms a union. That union is interrupted if the psyche is off, if the psyche was interrupted by this intrusion of this energy, the sexual energy that's coming down, you know, the lineage. Now trust this, okay? Either known or unknown. When I say known or unknown, which is involuntary or voluntary, a lot of people do not know they've been interpreted by a spiritual or a psyche interruption from a generational curse, because that's what that
right.
is.
Right.
They have to have self-awareness. We go back to self-awareness.
Yeah, there's no awareness. No awareness at all. Right. So also, like, say the young girl, the young virgin that's taken to the stud, and she comes home to her mother brutalized. What is that interaction or non-interaction? Or what's missing in that interaction? Maybe the mother went through the same thing. What kind of, is there any comfort? Is there any solace? You know what I mean? Touching, hugging, crying. Are we expressed? Were slaves, I'm sure in some cases slaves were able to express that, but I'm sure in many cases they weren't. How would that mother approach that daughter?
Well, because of the violation, remember, the violation affects the psyche, right? It affects the psyche,
right,
spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. So that person doesn't know, because they don't know what a person that would know how to do it. Anytime a person is violated sexually, the last thing you want to do is touch them. You cannot physically touch them. You can talk to them. You can soothe them with your words, but you cannot touch them until they reach out to you. Now, with a mother, or quite naturally, a mother is going to embrace a child because that's all she knows what to do. Because so back then, that was the first thing.
So that is available.
Let me embrace you. Let me soothe your wounds. If there was any scarring, physical scarring, or anything like that, and just, you know, I'm sure back then there was some type of prayer or something that person can do. But again, the damage is already done. There's nothing, you can't stop it. You can't stop it because it's already done. The subconscious mind is already have attached to it emotionally and has, the video, the audible, the sounds, the smell, the feelings, physical feelings, spiritual feelings, everything emotional has already
been
recorded in that brain, in the brain.
Wow.
So
are we, in essence, translating brains in the DNA? When we say passing it down, are we taking our brains and passing them on to our children and our generation?
It is a spiritual entity, part of it. Everything has energy to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything has
energy. That's the emotion.
The energy is transformed. The energy is transformed. When the energy is transformed in the mind then weaves a understanding of whatever that energy is. If the mind was if it's traumatized, because that's what you're talking about. You're talking about trauma right now. Trauma has a voice. Trauma has an action. Trauma has a lifestyle. It has, because it's an energy. And then we call it PTSD today, okay? So which means that thing, whatever happened a long time ago, as soon as something that can trigger that, could be a sound, a smell, a touch, anything can trigger it to bring it back to life. Because remember, it's in the subconscious mind. You see what I'm saying? It's stored back there.
Absolutely.
And it's stored back
Absolutely.
From generation to generation. Because you talk about 15 generations ahead of us. That's what you're talking about. So energy is alive and well. It's a spiritual thing. It constantly moves. It moves and moves and moves. And a lot of these things that you're talking about, ma'am, are on the earth today. That's why people are still violating each other sexually. That's why people are still raping each other. That's why people are still murdering each other and mutilating each other, because of these energies that have transformed, and they still think they are victims. Some known and some unknown, which means I know what I'm doing, and I don't know what I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? You see, you know, and the only way to stop it is for, again, self-awareness. If you don't know your right and your wrong, if you don't have imbalance, if you don't aware of your imbalance, if you don't understand your humility in life, and then why you're living, what purpose, then you're going to go ahead and adapt to those energies. Those energies is just going to transform inside of you, and you're going to be the same master that's violating that person, and you're going to continue the same pattern. Mm. Well, we know this today. We know rapists are walking this earth. Pedophiles are walking this earth. Murderers are walking this earth. Violators are walking this earth. They're just in a different body, in another time zone.
Mm.
That's all it is.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll continue when we come back. We got another call. So hold on. We'll be back in a moment. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. You know, when you call the number, if you get a recording saying your plan does not include this number, I think they charge you like a penny a minute. It's not going to kill you because you're only going to be on like, what, 5-10 minutes, you know. So it's going to be less than a dollar, you know. So, I mean, don't panic if you hear that recording because, I mean, oh, my plan doesn't cover. It's okay. It's charging just a penny, you know, so it's okay. But we'll be right back after this quick break. And we try not to keep you all on hold too long. But we will be right back after this quick break. And we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Love to their children, even though they worked hard to provide for them, but that quality was missing. And I'm wondering if that happened as a result of maybe that traumatizing experience, not being able to comfort your child, or believing that you got to toughen up your child by not showing them any affection because the world is harsh and they need to not expect any affection because it's not coming. You know, but I saw that pattern, and as a result of that kind of mothering, I saw that many of the behaviors in the children became addictive behaviors, whether it was alcohol, drugs, food, something to give them that good feeling that being hugged from your mother and being loved by your mother gives you, but that was missing. And so I saw that, and from what I observed, that seemed to trigger addictive behavior. And I you know, maybe you haven't thought about that before we take this next call. Is absence of affection.
I do have another question, please. After you take that call.
So we're gonna take the call, and
is that Mike? Is that Mike?
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna take 773-487, and get their thoughts, and then maybe you can address whatever they say along with your thought on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Our listening audience, and give us your thoughts.
This is the Indigenous American brother, Cooper James. I'm successful. What can I call it? I'm successful in getting myself unindoctrinated and survive the slavery mentality that has been set down and placed in my family. And you do that, I found out, through having three generations. If you can know three generations in your life, you're able to get away from the slavery mentality. And you can go back in our history in America and connect with the kings and the queens and the pharaohs, which I'm doing right now. I was raised in that family. My grandfather was a sharecropper. He picked cotton in Mississippi, came up to Chicago, browsing the suburbs. And he would come on the kitchen table and he would take his shirt off and show his whips, that he got whipped on the plantation. And everybody gave him respect. We already knew what it was. But his torture was right there. Oh, yeah. He would take his shirt off and show his whips.
Wow, that guy has been traumatized.
He would demand respect, you know. And we respected, like, man, we didn't go through this. And so I saw it coming up, and I used to go out. I was outside in the outdoors creating tree houses, and we would take the cotton ball stem and create arrows with. And we would open up the cotton ball, and we would run, and the flowers of the cotton ball would come falling out. And my mom was like, "Boy, come here. What you holding?" I said, "I don't know. I got this little plant in the woods." She said, "That's a cotton ball. That's what we used to pick." Knew she almost whipped me for that. And I was like, "Oh yeah." I was like, "Oh my God, this is some trauma that I'm living in. I see it. The yelling and the screaming, and I saw it. This is all coming from what Master did." See, we want to take them from Africa. They came in, they breeded us from right here. And so, yes, Mike is right. That breeding mentality is still present. So if a woman have a baby with a man, it's like, okay, my baby mama told me, you just donated some kids to me. Just like I'm a breeder now? So I saw that in her parents. I saw how her mother treated her father, and I was like, let me take my time with this girl. And a year later, we consummated, and babies came, and that's exactly what she started doing. You think you missed a Superman daddy. Oh, you come. When she was pregnant, I would come over with food and water and nutrition, and why are you doing all this? I said, well, this is what I need to do. You got babies. You got my babies in your belly. I'm trying to make. I don't need all that. I don't need you. I don't need you. I was like, see, that's that slavery mentality. And so I'm getting to my daughter, and I'm telling my daughter, my daughter's like, I know why you didn't marry my mama, Daddy. She talks down about you. But she don't say you a bad person. She be telling me, you trying to be all Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Mr. Good Dad. That's all that slavery. That come from all that being on that plantation. But I'm delivered by Christ. I'm delivered by the word of God. I got baptized, went to church. I got all that stuff out me. So that's why people, they hear a different vibration when you listen to me. So Mike is definitely right. We're still dealing with it right now. Look at us. Brothers walk around like studs.
Go outside. Yes, that's how it's presenting itself in the present. You know, that's how it skipped this generation and presenting itself in the present.
Putting your pants down. That's a stud. I mean, I'm ready to go. Got my pants down. I'm ready to go. I've seen guys pull out their things in front of women. I'm ready to go. That's that stud mentality. Yes, we still have it. And
wow. Well, thanks for sharing that story, Kofi. We, you know, I didn't realize, but I guess even the sharecroppers, even though slavery was over, but the mentality was still there. You can beat your workers. You can, I mean, they didn't have a union on the sharecropper's farm. So they were still being treated like slaves, still being brutalized. So Dr. Debbie, you know, the point that he brings out in terms of people who have been brutalized, are being brutalized, and, you know, are still feeling the emotional trauma of that. How does a person realize if they have a negative attitude, even in personal relationships, because even though we've, you know, 5-6 generations out of the institution of slavery, our relationships were in many ways dysfunctional. And unless you see a functional relationship, you don't know what it looks like. So you don't know that the way you're relating to the opposite sex is dysfunctional. How do people change if in their immediate environment everybody is dysfunctional? So they don't know what it looks like they don't know what it feels like to be trusting, to be loving, to have mutual respect, to talk kindly to each other. They don't know because they didn't experience. What can they change in order to change that pattern, or can they?
Well, the first thing you have to understand is how the person was raised, far as, you know, in their own family, you know, because remember, generation energies move from generation to generation to generation. So let's just say, for example, the young lady that he was talking about, it's apparently that she has problems trusting men. And the thing about it is this, I'm sure something in her life, being childhood or whatever, influenced this belief system in her mind. So what happens is if they start to create those same patterns of thought, I'm not trusting, that means that it affects the communication. It affects the love that a person genuinely will give to another individual or receive it. A lot of times what happens is they don't receive things. You know, oh, I can do this for myself. I don't need you doing this for me. Because, you know, at some given point, she might have done something or expect something and did not get it. Or she might have gave something and it wasn't received. It wasn't received out of love. So then in her mind, that's the way it is. And that's the way she thinks. See what I'm saying? That's in her mind. But at the same token, we know where it came from. We know it came down a longer pathway than just the mother and the father. So that being told, so the only way to gain some insight on it, you see what I'm saying? Because most people self-defeat, self-sabotage, and self-destruct. You know, some know they're doing it and some don't know they're doing it. So when there's somebody's helping them, okay, they push that person away because they say, well, what are you giving me that for? You don't think I should know? I should know what you're trying to tell me. I don't have enough intelligence to take care of myself. Instead of realizing, no, I'm just giving you this because I want to assist you. I want to help you. And so they don't receive help very well because, again, they've been hurt in some capacity in their life where what they do, they build up this thing called the ego defense mechanism. Ego defense mechanism, they put the blockers up. And then they tell other people why they put the blockers up in their assumed mind, because the mind doesn't have truth in it. It's called fear. Fear has a voice. Fear has a behavior. Fear has an action. False evidence appearing real. So therefore, you see what I'm saying? They assume that person is the idle threat. They assume that person is coming to do some harm, but that's not true. It's all in their mind. So what they do is self-sabotage. Oh, no, I don't need nothing from you. They push it away. You see what I'm saying? Every time somebody wants to do something for them, they push it away. Now, but then these are people, they'll come around, they'll do something for somebody else, but they don't receive anything.
Mm.
They don't want to receive anything. If you give them something, they feel odd. Why are you giving this to me? Like they don't, and again, we go back to self-identity, we go back to self-awareness, we go back to self-worth.
So is that a feeling of unworthiness? Is that what
unworthiness?
Oh.
Unworthiness, which leads to self-sabotage.
Wow.
And self-destruction and self-defeat. Because you got to understand, there's a cause and effect for every single thing underneath the sun. And he was saying something that, you know, that the men out here, you know, like I said, have that slave mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm the stud, so you got to respect me. You know, I am... this person, this male figure, you know what I'm saying? And because of the, I call it, well, let's just say it was a soft content because I can say it other ways. But most men, we got three type of females on this earth, we got three type of men. So being as we talk about the males, so I'm going to give you the male part. You got a male person,
mm-hmm.
Okay? A male person is just what it is. He's a male. That's what he is. He's a male person. And then you have a male person is usually just actually ruled by his genitalia.
Mm.
He thinks with it. He sleeps with it. He eats with it. He's ruled by it mentally. That's what he thinks. The thing that's between his legs is the greatest power thereof. You see what I'm saying? And then you got the male that's a Godhead. A Godhead man is a man that sees with integrity, that lives with dignity, that lives with moral intactness. That means that they have a weighing system. That weighing system is balanced. Even when things go wrong, they still come back to their balance. And then you got the interrupted male. The interrupted male is interrupted, and then they transfer into what is called, you know, a homo sapien, a homosexual. And that's an interrupted male because they got a male body, but then they think they're a female gender.
Hmm. You know, that's an interesting observation.
So, and all of these, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to let you know, all of them are actually transferred. The Godhead is the only one that doesn't allow the generational curses to become life.
Hmm.
The other two? It keeps on rolling.
It keeps on going. Because, you know, even when we talk about the outcomes of slavery and taking men and using them as studs and a way to remove their sensitivity to women and how that insensitivity has passed down in many ways culturally, it's culturally accepted dysfunction where you have so many men. And we've had this discussion even on our men's only programs where the men talked about how they were introduced to sex and how the older men said, get as much as you can, as many as you can. There was not the teaching of nurturing a female or loving a female or honoring a female. It was, hey, get that, you know. and so that was taught. That dysfunctional behavior was taught as being manhood, and men didn't know until they became self-aware that that was dysfunctional. They didn't know. They thought this is how it's supposed to be. So that's the challenge that many women have with whatever we're struggling with, realizing that some men have been taught a dysfunctional way of thinking of women
mm-hmm.
as things to use and not being aware of the destructive power of their inappropriate approach to love, intimacy, and relationships.
Yes.
So there's so much pain that keeps getting passed down through generations of people not honoring and respecting each other because of what they were taught by wounded people who were taught by wounded people who were taught by wounded people.
Right.
We're part
right,
of a system
right.
of wounding people. So
yes.
there
yes.
has to be some self-awareness. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say also, because I know that a lot of women, yeah, I think the statistics are now one in every four women has been sexually assaulted. A
yes.
lot of women carry the pain of that and anger, as you mentioned. You might end up anger toward all men,
mm-hmm.
hatred, and even deciding to take the male role in their intimate lives because they reject what happened to them as females and the feeling of being, you know, victims and made to feel weak and all of that. So there's a lot of pain that exists, and if there's a way for us to be able to talk about it without people feeling like they have to hate somebody, you know, I got to hate white people, got to hate men, got to hate women, you know, if there's a way people can heal from the hurt without projecting that anger onto someone else,
mm-hmm.
that would be ideal, because there's a lot of people that the only way they got over their, well, the way they believe they got over it was to simply hate that group of people that represented the person who originally hurt them, and that really doesn't represent healing.
Well,
so
absolutely. Now, pain,
how do we do that?
See, people usually, if, again, depending on what type of mindset they have, they return pain for pain.
Mm.
That's because they return the same energy that they received.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I want to say this something because I know our time is running short. You never know when somebody has been infiltrated by a generational curse. Sometimes you can know that person for a lifetime. You think of they're like, I've been knowing them for 10 years, and everything seemed to be all right, but then all of a sudden they start. Generational curses can actually come in and evolve as a person gets older.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be when they were children. It may not be when they're young adults. It may not come until they're, you know, they're in their older adult age or whatever the case is. Sometimes we see it very young, but it just depends on how it's transformed. And if Malika, if she's still on the line,
yeah,
I want you to, if you're still on the line, if you need me to consult with that book, I want to join with you and write it if you want to, if you need any information. You need information.
I love your offer, I accept. Yes, thank you so much. Absolutely,
yeah,
because that's what has to be understood clearly, and you
right.
make it clear. So thank you.
Go on,
you're the fool can't air on that one.
Inbox me your information on Soulful Solution. Inbox me your information, and what you can do is then leave your information there, and I will gladly give you a call back.
I can also text you her email.
Would you do that?
And we're
going to thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Maika. Looking forward to that book. Yeah, let me see if I can squeeze in one more caller, and that is area code 407-701-R, Friday morning, host Beata, Brand.
Well, Grand Rising Sisters, thank you for this really informative discussion. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about health and well-being, about uterine cancer, the truth about uterine cancer. I just had a longtime friend diagnosed with that, and I've been following her for all her life. We were high school friends, so it's like, oh, my goodness, and she's ready to do the chemo route. And I'm like, oh, no, honey, that's not the answer. So anyway, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow and more hot news topics. But, you brought up the fact that female, about men and their genitals, and that triggered me to get on the call, because We have an imbalance of male-female energy, not just in the planet, but in our bodies, I think. I know with me, I begin to recognize my right side or my left side, what's going on, whether it's male energy, female energy. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, that in general, with all the warmongering and the men who think they're women and all this, it's an imbalance on a higher level of male-female energy. What do you think, ladies?
Absolutely. Let me just quickly, quickly before we wrap up, I want to announce that on Wednesdays, the third Wednesday of the month, of course, you know, fourth Wednesday, we've got the men-only discussion. On the third Wednesday, we're bringing joy to the world. Mama Joy is going to join us every third Wednesday to talk about the divine feminine. And to talk about bringing back the power of our female energy to create that balance. And we need to do it all phases of our lives because, as you said, Viata, there is an imbalance. And a lot of it is because in our upbringing, many of us have been made to feel unworthy. So we've got to bring back that God mind to the female. So Mama Joy will be joining us every third Wednesday with Joy to the World, co-hosting with us and giving us that insight on the divine feminine. So, Dr. Debbie, I guess you got the last word before we go.
All right. Thank you. I want to thank everyone that has been looking for the Facebook. Queen Zell said so much. Oh, my goodness. She was just really chiming in. I had no trust in men at all in my youth and adulthood. I was blessed with husband to taught me I am lovable and he is trustworthy. Curse removed. I'm thankful. And some of the things I didn't share, I want to share this one also. Queen Z, this is what I sent to her. Any residue from those experiences, I'm here for you. Because we know sometimes things happen, right? She also said, that's why I'm working on training my subconscious mind with the 21-day nighttime meditation. We'll share on Zelda Speaks. .wordpress.com. Thanks, right. Zelda. Thanks, Queen Zelda. And thank you, Sister Steph, for chiming in, Sister Sheila Steph. One thing about this, your greatest weapon is humility. Mm. It's being humble. You know, it's easy to get angry. It's easy to lose control. But if you're humble, then you can see. You can have a clarity. And not be so anxious about it. But look at, take a look at your life. Take a look at your children's life. And, get really close up and personal. And then notice if there's anything that has happened more than 3, 4, or 5 times. Because there's a good chance, if it's a negative thing, that's a generational curse. Mm-hmm. And if it's a positive, it's a generational blessing.
That's right.
But at least you'll have an idea of what's happening.
Yes.
The worst thing to do is be in a life that you have no idea what's going on.
That's right.
You be blessed. Until next time, next Thursday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. Eastern Standard, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for watching.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, John Cuyon, France, merci, Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, medasi, Nigeria, eshe, South Africa, ngiyabonga, Senegal, jeret, Kenya, asante, Israel, toda, Pakistan, shukriya, Afghanistan, tashakor, Saudi Arabia, shukran, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.